Barnage and Benjamin to the left, right below us. Duke Johnson in the shotgun with Manziel. Third down and five. Manziel yelling out instructions. Play clock is at eight. He's got the snap. He's back. He's in back in the pocket. He's going to roll around to the right. He's rolling and firing towards the end zone. Touchdown! He gets it in there, and the Duke's got it. The rookie out of Miami.
Johnny bought a lot of time. He got out there this time to the right and threw a strike.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was the high point of the game. The Browns touchdown, 92-yard drive by Johnny Manziel, finishing off the first half, hitting the Duker for the touchdown, and the Browns pulled within 14-10, the closest they were since the game started at 0-0, and the closest they would be all day long before finally falling 31-10 to the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's go to phones again, and then we'll have Jim Donovan with us. Fred in Warrensville. Fred, welcome to the show.
Doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, you know what? I really believe we need to blow this whole thing up. I mean, we have a myriad of problems on both sides of the ball. We have an evaluation problem. It seems like we can't get that right. We let a lot of good guys go, in my estimation, like a Buster Screen, a Billy Winn, a Jamal Shear, and some other guys who were replaced, probably equally in talent. But, you know, we're worse than we were last year. And to be honest with you, as far as coaching, I liked what Shanahan had to do. And for a guy to have to do a PowerPoint presentation to be let out, that smacks of something within itself. So I think that I don't know if this is a rebuilding year. It feels like it. We had a team full of undrafted free agents. We might as well start over.
Yep, you're right. I guess. Go ahead, Nathan.
If you hate that, you want to have continuity. Those are decisions well above our pay grade. And one person trying to give us a nice silver lining, Ben on Twitter, says, didn't Big Ben and the awesome Steelers offense only put up 10 points against this Bengals defense? The answer to that is yes. I would also say in that same game, they only gave up 16 points to the Bengals offense.
Yeah, and he brings up a point. And so, Nathan, as you look at this team, and maybe it's a little bit more, without, you know, being critical of those who make the decisions, who do you feel are developmental players that are going to be a part of the rebuild, if this is a rebuilding year, that are going to be, you know, hold the biggest roles for this football team over the next two seasons following this year?
Sadly, it's a difficult question to answer.
I wasn't truly expecting you to rattle off a bunch of names very easily. I kind of facetiously wanted to make my point that way.
No, and you are right. I mean, offensively, you look at your running backs, Isaiah Crowell, who I think showed that if a team were to commit to giving him the football, he could be a very good running back. Duke Johnson, I think they could be a nice tandem. I think there's no reason why those guys couldn't be, you know, maybe not quite Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, but certainly close to it. You know, on the offensive line, Cam Irving has been drafted to be that. You certainly hope he is. I think Joel Bitonio would admit his second year has not been as good as his first, but he would be somebody you'd want to have in the mix there. At wide receiver, the only person on the team is Josh Gordon. And can you count on Josh Gordon at this point? No. At tight end, you know, Gary Barnes is playing very well, but that's not a long-term answer. I know the team likes Randall Telfer. We haven't gotten an opportunity to see him. Defensively, you know, you're hoping that Justin Gilbert and Pierre Desir become your corners of the future. Ibrahim Campbell's one of your safeties of the future. Tishon Gibson could still be here, certainly. At linebacker, you need more and better out of Christian Kirksey, that's for sure. In his second year, I don't think it's gone as well as he would like. Along the defensive line, you know, we're still waiting for the impact from Danny Shelton. We're still waiting for Xavier Cooper to show much more of an impact. So Nate Orchard, he had the nice play on the read option, but also lost the edge multiple times in the game last night. So it's tough. And that's what's so crazy is you were talking about a team, because we don't know if Alex Mack's going to be here. Joe Thomas has a number of years left, and you never know if he's going to remain a Cleveland Brown through it all. You know, there was the trade deadline, and it seems like there could be movement for him maybe this offseason. So you really don't know, and I think that was the point I was trying to make. You had a team with six Pro Bowlers in 2013, And then you had, since then, 4 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, 4 third-rounders, and more money under the cap than any team in the NFL. And your roster should have taken a massive step forward and been set with the foundation and the building blocks of what would be a very competent, competitive football team for many, many years. And it seems, as we watch it, that and it's not just opinion, it just seems at this point that is not what the case is for this Cleveland Browns football team. Let's go to Chevy in Jersey now. Chevy, welcome to the show.
Sorry I missed you guys. I was cleaning my cat fountain. Anyway, I think that, I hate to say it, but I like the continuity thing. But the only one I like on that staff is the special teams guy in Flip. I think Pettin's immature. The way he handles his players is he isolates them when he doesn't like them. And you got 53 men. You gotta have that whole roster going. You can't just pout with certain players. He's immature. Mike Pettin is immature. Flip has got brain. I love Flip. So I'd rather see him as a coach.
Chevy, thank you very much for the call. And quickly, let's get to Amy. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You
my question is, I just can't figure out why Pettin is so in love with McCown. He does not give us the best chance of winning. He's gone, 1-6 for us? And even before us in Tampa Bay, he went 1-11. That means 2 out of his past 17 games. That's all he's won. That is not our best chance to win. And even worst-case scenario, we have no idea what we have in Johnny Manziel. And when we get to the draft, we're not going to try to draft a quarterback if we don't figure out what we have with Manziel.
Amy, I couldn't agree with you more in the sense that I'm ready. Johnny Manziel showed me enough to say that I'm going to play him the rest of the year just so we can see what we have there. And I think it will. The one part of it that's going to remain, in my mind, difficult to evaluate him is, given the kind of quarterback that he is, you need to go ahead and, have a supporting cast that fits his skill set. And the Browns don't have that now. But if he can show progress from the pocket, we know he can make plays out of the pocket. Can he show progress from the pocket? That's, to me, what the next 7 games is all about. Reading defenses, making the right reads with the football, delivering it accurately from the pocket. Can he do that at all? Because the fact of the matter is, for him to be a long-term successful quarterback in the NFL, he's going to have to be able to do those things. And that's what I hope the final 7 games of this season are about finding out. Can Johnny Manziel show progress, directionally speaking, that he is going to be able to do that in the NFL on a consistent basis? When we come back, we will talk to Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, right after this.